I get asked a lot of times to talk about this and to give a message for it, because God did a work in my life. Really, it was watching my mom's life and the way her relationship was with my father. And one day, God just started giving me revelation. I would see how she would treat him, and it would change my life. And so I would put that in practice with my relationships, with my husband, with my children, and I just started calling it disarming the enemy, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? In 1 Samuel 13, we don't have to turn there, but 1 Samuel 13, verse 19, it talks about there was no blacksmith because the Philistines didn't want the Hebrews to make any swords. They didn't want them to make any tools. So they abolished all the weapons so there wouldn't be any weapons of war. So that's an example in the Old Testament of disarming the enemy. If I'm going to disarm the enemy, then I'm taking away all his, I'm abolishing his weapons of war. Somebody say, if I disarm the enemy, I'm abolishing his weapons of war. That's what disarming the enemy does. There's war, there's fights, there's striving, there's divorce, there's fighting over money. Okay, God, I need to know how to disarm this. I need to know how to, because me getting in fighting and warring and entangled in bondage with them is not going to do it. It's not going to fix it. It's never going to fix it. We just said in Sunday school, the children of Israel did not go into their promised land because they couldn't come out of their circumstances. I mean, we just said in the prayer, they couldn't come out of their circumstances. They wouldn't come out of them. They didn't want to come out of the fear. They didn't want to come out of the, they wanted to go back into Egypt and get the leader to take them back in, because they were faced with giants and they were fixed to have to get out of their flesh to fight those giants and get into the spirit world. And they didn't want to do that. They wanted to stay in whatever they were in. But because of that, they never received their promise and they died in the wilderness. So that shows us what happens if we stay in our flesh in these circumstances. And God gave me that about 3 weeks ago. He said, the children of Israel never went in because they wouldn't come out of their circumstances. So 2 out of all those millions were the only ones that led the young ones in, Josh and Caleb. Why did they get to go in? Because they said, we can do this. And I'm sure they felt the anxiety and the fear too, but they chose to go with the word that God gave instead of what's going on around them. And because of that, they were able to enter in. So today, our promised land is getting our prayers answered. Okay? So sometimes people don't get their prayers answered because they stay in the circumstance. And we can look at that with Abraham, because he had a word from God, but his wife kept saying, go into the maid, give me a baby. So he did that and had Ishmael. But it didn't change God's word. God said, no, the promise is not coming through Ishmael. It's coming through your wife, Sarah. Coming through a child of the promise. And until you operate in faith, you're not getting this victory, you know. So somebody, I'm never going to disarm the enemy staying in my circumstance. Mm-mm. So the example God gave me was for, about Abigail. So let's look at, I'm just going to kind of go through 1 Samuel chapter 25, and you can read it at home. I'll go through the verses, but I probably won't read every one. But in verse 1, it talks about Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together. And David arose out of that, and he went to a man that was named Nabal, They call him Nabal, but I don't want to call him. I'm calling Nabal. And they went with Nabal, and his wife was Abigail. And the Bible says she was a woman of good understanding, of beautiful countenance. In verse 4, and David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be to you. So we can have peace in our life and somebody else don't have peace. So they want to fight. You know what I'm saying? He said, when you go, peace be to you, to your house, and peace be to all that thou hast. And verse 8 said, ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatever you want to give to your servants. Basically, David and them needed some food, needed something to drink. And this man had prosperity, and David sent 10 servants to him to ask, could they have something to eat? So, verse 10, Nabal said, who is David? Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed and give it to him who I don't even know? So David's faced with this man that's operating in the flesh. He's faced with this man that's saying, who are you? Trying to belittle him. How many people ever felt like somebody wanted to put you under them? I call it demoralize you, you know. Put you under them like you're less than them. I've been looking up the word subordinate. And it means you're less than me. You're not as good as me. You're second. I'm going to put you in your place, which is way below me. What gives us the right to treat people like that? You know, and I've been guilty of that in my marriage. Talked to Tim like he was nothing. I mean, what gives me the right to do that? So that's what this man was doing. Who are you? You're nothing to me. So David said, y'all guard up your sword because we're fixing to kill them. We're fixing to kill the house. And he's fixing to rise up and go in there and slay Nabal and all that he had because he was fixing to get in his flesh. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. How many have been railed on before? Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all the household. In other words, they're telling Abigail that David's coming to destroy. And he said, because Nabal is such a man that nobody can even speak to him. Verse 17, he is such a son of Baal that a man cannot even talk to him. How many times you try to talk to your spouse and they don't listen? They just put a hand up. I ain't got to listen to you. I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you. Well, that's what it says, that Nabal was such a man that you couldn't even talk to him. Because he was so superior, he didn't think you had nothing important to say to him. But on over here, the Bible calls him a fool. And when we were praying yesterday about a superior spirit, somebody said, that's just dumb. That's just dumb for what somebody's doing. I said, but that spirit of superiority thinks it's smart. It thinks everybody else is dumb, but it does. But it's acting silly. And then I thought of Nabal, that the Bible said he was a foolish man. It's foolish to not listen to your wife if you want some cornbread. It's foolish not to listen to your husband if you want him to treat you good, you know? So that thing is so stupid. That thing is stupid. That spirit is stupid to try to make us get all haughty and mighty and like we're better than everybody around us. And for what? What am I going to get out of that? A feeling of I've got power? But we're going to see in a minute, his power didn't last very long. Amen. So what did Abigail do? Now, this is her husband acting a fool. This is her husband acting a fool now. And we'd be like, oh, you need to submit. He don't want to help David, so you don't need to help David. And I get asked a lot, how do you know when to submit and when to make a stand? Well, right here, Abigail was submitted to her husband. She was humble and everything because when he got drunk, she wouldn't talk to him. She wouldn't get in his face while he was drunk, so she was disarming the enemy. But at the same time, she heard about this man of God, and she knew that she needed to go and give him something, and she made a stand. Abigail made a stand. In verse 18, Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of corn, 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on the donkeys. I ain't going to say that other word. Laid them on the donkeys. And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. I'm not trying to tell you don't tell your husband something, but I'm telling you that you can submit to something and submit to something and submit to something. There was somebody that came to this ministry, you know, a year or so, and they left. And every time I saw them, I would just go out of my way. I would see them look at me and turn their head, and I'd cross the threshold and go over there and hug them anyway. Well, I did that every time. And one day, I went to Food Giant, and when I put my foot in there, that person's in the line. And the Holy Ghost said, you don't got to do it this time. And I was like, well, that don't sound right, because I'm supposed to be down to my flesh and humble. But she looked at me, and I looked at her and grinned and said, hey, and walked to the right. And you know, from that point on, that spirit treated me better. Because there's a difference than submission than going under a spirit. And when you know that it's a spirit, then you don't go under the spirit. You love the person and you submit to the person and you do right about them. But just say a husband is railing on you. You know, you don't never do nothing around here. This house is filthy. You ain't no good. Okay, honey, I see. I need to, you know, do a little bit more. Okay? Next week. You don't ever do nothing around here. And you're looking around and all there is maybe one little dust in the light fixture. And you don't do nothing around here. Okay, honey, you're right. You're right. And then one day, God puts it in your heart or somebody says, you know, I would like to clean your house. And you start letting them and he gets mad about it. Because he wants to keep you subordinate. Now, that's just a man's side. Women do it a lot, too. Wants to keep you dependent on him. Wants to control. Or like a woman, she might say, you don't never do nothing in this yard. This yard always looks like a junkyard. What's the right response to that? You're right, honey. I'm going to get on that. And then she'd be like, next week the same thing. And then you hire Adam to mow the yard. And she says, rah, 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 rah. That's a spirit. And it's trying to control and make you be what it wants you to be. I mean, I believe in taking care of our stuff. But at the same time, if that thing is railing on you, you don't have to go under a spirit. There's a difference in submission and going under control. And that's male or female. If she says, I'm going to leave you if you don't give me your whole check. Well, honey, I'll give you $200 this week. This is what I could spare. I'm going to leave you if you don't give me, you know, next week, same thing. Well, and then the next week, okay, baby, well, if you got to go, I love you. That's how you, that's the difference. We are not supposed to be ruled by another human being. We're ruled by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost says, Abigail, go take care of that man of God. Her husband didn't want her to. All right. So she told not her husband. And then we go to verse 23. And when Abigail, she made haste and took all that stuff to the man of God. She, this is how you disarm the enemy. She made haste. She saw David. She lighted off the donkey. She fell before David on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet. That's like four things of submission. What'd she do? She hasted. She fell before David on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, upon me, Lord, let Nabal's iniquity be. Upon me, Lord David, let me take the blame for my husband's actions. Upon me, Lord, let me be the one that pays for this. Because he was fixing to destroy him. So this woman of good understanding, the Bible says, she went and disarmed the enemy. She went to David, which could have killed her. And she made haste, and she brought him gifts, and she bowed herself before him. And David says, hey, before dawn, this Nabal's house is going to be dead. And if you're there, you're going to die too. And she said, oh, but you're such a man of God, David. You're such a man of God. You only fight God's battles. And she's not manipulating. She's giving him honor. There's a difference in manipulation and honor. She's giving him honor. Oh, David, why would you avenge yourself when you only fight God's battles? So David, the Bible says he received from her. Why? Maybe your husband don't receive from your mom because the way we come across to him, accusing, hollering, bickering. But if we would come like this, don't wait till he worked 12 hours walking there. I need some money, you know. He ain't got nothing to eat on the stove. And I need you to keep the kids tomorrow. I'm going out with my friends. But if you go in there and say, oh, hey, honey, I love you. I know you worked hard today. And in a little bit, not manipulating by the Spirit of God, well, I like to go out, you know, next week. Give them a notice. I like to go out next week with my friends. And what you think about tending to the dog, you know, feeding the dog. And he'd probably do it. But a lot of times it's the way we come demanding and making them feel less than us, accusing. That's what Tim always said. I feel like you're accusing me. So I tried to watch that. Because the Bible says Satan's the accuser. I don't want to be one. I don't want to be the accuser of the brethren. So let's stop accusing our spouses. And women, let's learn how to disarm the enemy by, if he's telling you that you're never home, then start being at home. One day, Pastor Pinson, it burnt me up. She looked at me and she said, do you want a man of God for a husband? Yeah. She said, well, go home then. Quit going to the huddle house, stay until midnight. And she said, ain't nobody else in here doing it. And I knew y'all was, but I didn't tell on you. Some of them were. But it made me so mad. First, I thought, you ain't controlling my life. You don't pay my bills. I had a choice. Because she wasn't coming to me as a mother. She was coming to me as a pastor. You want a man of God? Yes, ma'am. So I went home for a year and a half, didn't go out eating with nobody in the church. Went cook for her and him and took her food for a year and a half till I could feel that get released, you know. And I do have a man of God, don't I? He's right there. Amen. So she said, I'm going to take all this from Nabal's folly. Verse 25, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Baal, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of the Lord, which thou didst send. And she said, would you take our gifts and give it to those young men? Would you take the blessing that we have and give it to them? And he said, I receive from you. I receive what you're saying. And then he thanked her later from keeping him from killing somebody. He thanked her later for keeping him from getting in his flesh. Because he saw how she came to him, you know, humbly. And he said, blessed be thy advice. Blessed be thou which has kept me this day from shedding blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. And David received of her that which she brought him and said, go in peace to thy house. So she goes home, and what she got to do? She got to fight that devil. Verse 36. She goes home, and she got to fight that demon. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore, she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Then she came to him. She didn't try to hide what she did to him. She made a stand. There's a difference in sneaking. She made a stand, and she went back and told her husband what I did. This is what I did. So she says, morning light, she says, the wine's gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him all these things, and his heart died. He had a stroke or a heart attack, and it came to pass after 10 days that he died. So David heard he was dead, and he said, blessed be the Lord, because the wickedness of Nabal went upon his own head, and he went and took Abigail as a wife. So she married the king because of disarming the enemy, because of not giving in to her flesh, because of doing what God told her to do in the face of that demon, which is one of the hardest things to do for married people. To face that challenge. It's like, I just keep peace. No. Keeping peace like that, then the enemy wins. So you're going to have to do that sometimes with these spouses. You're going to have to make stands. And you're going to have to say, you know, I know how you feel about worshiping out loud, but sometimes I just want to worship out loud. So it's 2 to 3 o'clock every day good for you, because that's the time I want to get before the piano and worship God. Because if you don't, then they'll take over the whole house, see? We don't have to give them dominance like that. Amen? Because the Bible says we're above and not beneath. Somebody say, I'm not beneath another person. They took me out of Tim's reel, his side. You know, his side. Supposed to walk together. I'm not supposed to be underneath him. Amen? So we come against that thing that tells us that we're supposed to, that we have to live in that abuse. That and men are real controlled, some of them. But they're controlled by a spirit. If you don't do what I say, then I'll get me another man. Well, one day you're going to have to say, well, okay, I love you, honey, but you know, whatever you think you got to do. One day, you have to make the stand. But you disarm the enemy until that day comes by showing love, by doing everything you know to do. They're looking at you. They're putting you down. They're talking about your hair. They're picking stuff off your clothes because, you know, you're less than me. They're talking about you can't wear bracelets because your arms are too fat. You know, let's go get your nails done. And they might do that to you 8 times that day because you're less. You're less, and I'm letting you know you're less. And so we just, yes, okay, let me go get those nails done. Okay, I need to get this off my clothes. One day, though, the Holy Ghost will let you say, sweetie, that's control. I ain't trying to control nothing. Okay, well, but because you made that stand right there, then they back up. See, that's a bully. That's a bullying spirit. And if you don't stand up to a bully, he's going to keep bullying you. Have you ever noticed that, like, bullies find the weakest person, the youngest? If they can't control you, they'll get the little bitty kid. And they just own them. They're just own them, own them, own them. And then if that parent don't say, if I bullied the kids when they came over and Casey didn't finally say in love, thank you, but I would like to discipline my own kids. If he didn't make that stand, then I would just keep doing it. So just laying down and saying, I'm submitted, I'm dying in my flesh, a lot of times that's excuses not to confront and not to make stands. Because God didn't call us to live in a beat-up home. He didn't call us to be abused by another person. He didn't call us to be treated like we were nothing, subordinate, subnormal, underneath, behind. You're no good because you're the weaker vessel. I'm good enough to sleep with. Good enough to sleep with. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody have any questions about disarming the enemy? Can you see places in your life that there's a little confusion? Okay.
When they're making you feel less than and you're not real sure, my question is when they're saying you're dumb, you're stupid, and you know then that, should you know at that time the way that you're feeling, because in, you know, they're telling you all the time that you're stupid, you're fat, you're lazy, you don't want a clean house, blah, blah, blah. And you feel like you're just being a stone put on top of you, that's when it's a spirit, and that's when you ought to get your keys and go and not listen to that.
At first, when they do it, like, they'll start little, like, you don't never do nothing around here. Okay, honey, I'll work on that. And work on that. On Monday, do a little more than you did last week. But then if they do it again, and you know the house is clean, and they keep doing it, we have to die first. We die first. And then we can confront. We can't confront the first day because we ain't died nothing. So this confrontation comes after death. Jesus, he let them do everything to him. He let them rip his beard, spit on him, mock him. The Bible says he did not return railing for railing. He didn't answer back to them. But then he confronted. He died, he resurrected, and then he went to hell and said, give me them keys. And then he was head over all other things. He was above everything else on the earth. And that's what happened to you when you disarm the enemy and die to it first. That's the hard part. Die to it first. And then there'll come that day where you just feel the Holy Ghost and he'll let you say something. You know, even if we're on our kids to be right. If we're doing that in our flesh, we're just warring. We're just warring in the flesh. They're not going to change. Okay, they're doing this every day. They don't clean house. If I go over, just say I had a daughter named Nikki, and I go over there and her house is filthy. And I say, how can you live like this? Well, next week it's going to be filthy again. She might do a little bit, but what do I do? I find something good about her. You're a good mama, or you cook good, or I'm so thankful you bring kids to church. But one day, after prayer, the Holy Ghost will give me something to say. But it'll be in a loving way of, you know, God showed me this at prayer. He showed me that I was on you since you was a little girl about keeping house. Because I grew up in that, and I just didn't want to live in it. And I just asked him to take that judgment out of me. And I ask you to forgive me for staying on you all the time. And you know what? They're going to turn around. So that's basically how I confront, is I find out, I ask God until he shows me, why is this bothering me so much? And then he'll show me, and then I try to go and say, this is what I saw in prayer, and I was treating you this way. but I thought you was treating me this way, and I asked you to forgive me. And then if they do it again, we don't say nothing again. We don't say, didn't you hear what I said? Because it's not going to change. It's not going to change for me saying something. That's railing. That's doing it in my flesh. But one day, God will give us a word. You know, he'll give us something, and we'll go to them and say, you know, God showed me about that. He showed me this. And did you know your pants were too short? Because, I mean, but if you just stay on somebody every day, that's law. We're just putting law on them, putting law on them. And they don't want to be around us. They don't want to come over. A lot of people use that because they don't want them to come over, though. So they'll throw a little fit, you know. My dad used to throw a fit if my kids went to mama's house, so they didn't ever go because he would throw a fit. And he would say, these are your kids, and you need to take care of them. So I grabbed them up, went home. The right thing to do, though, was me to take them back sometimes, but I didn't take them back for 20 years, you know, because I didn't understand this revelation. But he was throwing a fit because he didn't want them there to begin with. He wanted to spend time with mama. So instead of just saying to her, honey, I like to spend time with you, can we set certain days for that? He just threw a fit. So it hurt me and it hurt the kids. Those fit-throwing devils don't do anything but make us rebel, right? If someone throws a fit with me, it's not... Fit-throwing don't even work with God. No. Our emotions and our faith works with God. When I operate in faith, he hears what I got to say. And doing this, you are operating in faith because you're choosing not to do it your way. You're trusting God. He said he's the righteous judge. And if we feel like people, you know, don't understand us, that was a big one in me. That's not how I meant it. I meant it this way. Well, you know, we don't even have to defend that because he's the righteous judge. Amen. So if someone's coming to you and they're belittling you and they're being superior over you, they're talking you down, then that is not God. It's a spirit trying to make you do what it wants you to do. And it's trying to, how many people you saw with life in them and then they'd get married and then you'd see them and there wasn't no life anymore? Because that spirit takes all you got. It takes your life. It's everything for itself because it doesn't feel worth anything. So it uses you to get its power and get its worth, you know. It uses someone else to give me power, to make me look like I have power. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4, it calls elders shepherds of the flock. That's what I'm saying, they're pastors. Elders are shepherds of the flock. But it said, don't lord your authority over the people. Don't use that for a whooping post. Amen? That to live by example, to live our life by example, so someone would want what we have, but... That thing wants to make everybody know it has something. Superior wants everybody to know it has something. It's smart. It's above. But God showed us in prayer that we're above superiority because we're above all principalities, all powers, all spiritual wickedness. So superiority is not above you just because they try to make you feel that way. Who had the real power in this story? Abigail. What happened to Nabal? He was a fool. Who had the real power between Jesus and the devil? Jesus. But it looked like that the devil had power. He thought he done won the biggest victory he ever thought he could have. He done destroyed Jesus. But all he did was Jesus is imparted into thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So he couldn't kill the spirit. He can't kill. You can't kill the spirit that disarms the enemy because it's the spirit of God. It's the love of God that comes, and love covers a multitude of sins, and love's going to conquer. And he said faith works through love. So if I'm operating in the love of God, it never fails. Amen. You may look like you're the little one right now, But when we get to heaven, we're going to look at the enemy and say, is that what made me feel less than? Is that what made me think that I wasn't any good? Is he what made me think that I couldn't do this for God? And we're going to see how little he really is. And he's just got a big mouth and a lot of talk, and he ain't got no walk. He ain't got no walk. He ain't got no power. God said that he gave Jesus all power. That means all power belongs to God, and he gave it to us. The enemy, just like I saw in that vision, that person with the pretty dress and sparkles didn't have no head because they didn't have any substance. They didn't have any authority because they wouldn't submit the right ordinance of the Lord and get under a pastor. And so they don't have any. They think they're doing all these superior things in the city, but there's no substance to it. And if I ain't got a head, then eventually I'm going to pass out. So eventually that thing's going to give out because there's nothing carrying it. There's no power and there's no authority carrying it. But when you die to your flesh and then get back up, when God says you died and now you can resurrect, when you come out of that circumstance, you're going to have some power. You're going to be able to help somebody else. You're going to be able to show them this is how you can get your relationships fixed. You might have to look like the little one for a little while, but go ahead and give them that. Go ahead and let them feel like they're supreme being over you. Let them feel like they're the head and you're the tail so they can have some value. But there's going to come a day where Jesus is going to rise up. He's going to say, that's enough of that, because he's the one that's going to be your defender, because you didn't defend yourself. You didn't avenge yourself, just like David didn't avenge himself. And God sent Abigail, and then he got her for his wife. He didn't have to do it himself. All he did was listen to the woman of God, and he submitted to what she said as what the voice of God is saying to him, and he winded up with her as a bride, and he winded up being king. And that old other spirit, that spirit that Saul had, that spirit that Nabal had, that stupid, dumb thing that thinks it's all that and thinks it's superior, it's because it ain't. It's because somebody told them they were dumb, wasn't it? That's what we saw in prayer. People only have that because they feel dumb, because they were told they weren't nothing. And something in them rose up and tried to be something on their own. But John says, man is nothing apart from God. I can't be superior without God. Satan said, let me look at it real quick. Is it time? 10 after? Let's look at this. What did Satan do? Isaiah 14:12. Thank you. And I know it's a new revelation. We'll keep breaking it for. But Isaiah 14:12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights. How many I wills in there? I will ascend under you, over you, wife. I will treat you like you're nothing, husband. I will talk to you like you're a dog, child. Ephesians says exactly how we're supposed to treat people. Husbands, let me start with wives. Wives, submit unto your husband. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Children, honor your father and mother and obey them. Masters, treat your employees well so you're the one over you will treat you well. People that work for people, answer not back. Don't talk back. Submit to what they... If you work for somebody, you say, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. You don't have any right to go in there and start ruling. And it's against the word of God to do that. It's against the word of God to go work for a company and rise above that authority and say what you think. You don't own the company, so we need to submit. And the word tells us to do that. You can look in Ephesians 5, and it'll talk about how we're supposed to submit to those masters. But Lucifer said, I'm going to exalt myself. I ascend above all of this. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that shook the nations? We're going to look at him and say, man, why did I let that little scrawny thing deceive me? Thinking I was nothing. Wow. God, help us today. Help us to see. Help us see the pattern of disarming the enemy is for me to die to my flesh in the situation, keep my mouth shut until you tell me something to say. And then I can confront. And then I come out of that with power. And God, I just thank you for showing us, Lord, showing us how to do it. Because those emotions are going to try to make them do right. But what gives us the power to make somebody else do right? The Bible said, am I another man's servant's judge? Kim belongs to God, not to someone else to rule and reign over. He says, am I another man's servant to judge? Who gives us the right to judge? Who gives us the right to accuse? When we accuse our loved ones, our spouses, our bosses, we're coming in unity with the enemy because he's the accuser. And what does God tell us to do? He said, agree with your adversary quickly. So he says to disarm the enemy by keeping peace. There's some things that we just don't have to say. Isn't that right? Sister Jackie, have you learned any of these teachings you was telling me the other day about? Have. Would you share just a little bit with us?
Everything that you taught about during my first marriage, I'm going to go to my first marriage. It was just a destructive marriage. It wasn't no love, wasn't no peace. Always I had to fight, shot at, jumped on, cut at. And, you know, I just thank God that he allowed me still to be here. And that made me hard-hearted. And so when I spoke it, I said, it's not going to be another man to treat me like this. I'm not going to allow it. And that's what caused me to be so hard-hearted towards my husband. But through all of your teaching, it takes some time. It's not overnight. You make commitment, say I'm going to do right. But sometimes you allow the devil to slide back in. But now, my husband, we love one another. We're there for one another. And I never felt so close to him. Like, I usually stay back in the back all day. I comes to the front. He be in his recliner, I be in mine. And I feel, you know, I don't separate myself from him. Honey, you need me to do anything for you? You need me to go to the store? That's where I put myself there. And we can talk. He talks to me more now than he ever have. And Pastor, through your teaching and others that teach, God is doing a work there, and I just thank him for it. So, you know, sometimes the devil he always got his little tactic, but when you sit there and you see the vision of God and you know how to disarm the enemy, you don't allow him to stir up anything. And so that's what we have to keep our eyes on, not allow the devil to come in and stir up your home. Because he would tear it up from the floor up to the bottom, to the top, I mean. But I just thank God that he's showing me daily. And the only way we can see that through teaching and reading God's word. And on our face. Amen. So that's what draws our husband to us when we come submit, but not being a slave to him like most of them think that we should be and bow down to him like he's a king. No, we love him as they, you know, they love us.
Treat him like a king. That's
right.
Don't bow down to the spirit.
That's right.
If we treat him like a king, they'll probably quit doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Most of them do it because we don't show them respect. And we don't honor them, you know. We're not there when they get off. We don't have them nothing to eat. We don't have no clean clothes. Well, they're gonna rail on you about that. Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus spoiled principalities. He disarmed them. He spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So he destroyed the enemy when he went to the cross, and then he resurrected, and then he went to hell and said, okay, You know, I won the victory. He won it through death. He won it through obedience to this word that tells us to put ourselves on the altar and die daily and decrease and let God increase through our life. And that's how you win the victory. That's how you're going to win it. It's showing respect and honor and love and quit pushing ourselves, quit defending, quit saying, you do this and rah, rah, rah. If they're telling you something over and over, apparently they're feeling a lack somewhere. And we need to shore up that lack. And we need to find out, why does my wife keep saying this? Honey, what am I doing that make you keep saying this? And she'll tell you. And then you can say, I'm so sorry. Because most of the time women just want acknowledgement, that you acknowledge that this is how I feel, you know. But it's real hard for men to do that sometimes because of pride. But if we'll do that, then she'll love us. And if we respect them, then they'll give us anything. They'll give a woman anything to show them honor and respect. Amen. They'll give their heart. They'll open up to you. They'll trust you. It's hard to trust somebody that don't honor you. Amen. That you go work 60 hours a week and they act like it's not a thing. They can just go and blow and don't ever thank you, you know. Amen. So, God, thank you for showing us today how to disarm the enemy. Thank you for showing us, God, that first I die to it, and I forgot this one while ago, but then I resurrect to it, and then I, what's the next one? I die to it, I resurrect, then I confront it, and then I have the victory, okay? That's what Jesus did. I died to it, I went to hell, confronted Satan, he died to it, he resurrected. He went to hell, confronted Satan, and then he had the victory for all mankind. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise for it today. Thank you for coming in and having your way in this service, God. Thank you for your anointing and your presence flowing here today. I thank you that the gifts of the Spirit are operating and flowing fluently through here, God. We just thank you for your presence coming upon Elder Robert as he ministers today, and we thank you for drawing us into that place with you in this praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen.